What's good, everyone? Welcome back to Check the Stats, your weekly sports podcast with Hamza, Deep, Harry, and Dodge. Today's episode, we're going to start it a little bit different. We usually talk about NFL to start it off with, but since the NBA is back and there's a lot going on, we'll go ahead and start with the NBA this week.
A little bit too much going on, I
just say. Just a little bit. And we'll start off with LeBron's abdominal injury.
We don't want to. Rectus abdominal. All right.
See, I don't want to say that, but like...
Be specific, bro. We'll check stats.
We'll just...
Correct info.
So I saw like a little stat today. It was like this... Normally, LeBron is like 97-95% participating in regular season games with most like from the Cavs to the Heat and then back to the Cavs. It's just the Lakers where he has like 75%. And I think it's like 223 games out of 275. Or either like 170 out of like 220. Bro, he's old. It just comes down to that, yeah. And like it's just.
He's been keeping his body so healthy so long.
Have you ever seen an athlete other than Tom Brady in such good? And Tom Brady's a quarterback. Also.
But no. You can't compare Tom Brady's sloppy ass body to LeBron James. Oh. He spends $1 million on his body a year, but now that's not going to be enough for him. He's with age, you have to like take some off. I mean, he is still, I think, the greatest player in the league. LeBron's game against the Houston Rockets, though a terrible team, the terrible Houston Rockets, was just insane. Bro, he boy had 10 points straight.
Against the G League Rockets.
10 points straight on any team is good.
Can you name the starting five, Dodge?
I'll give you Jalen Green.
Jalen Green.
No, he's
Aaron
not.
Gordon.
Your favorite player.
Bro, that entire team.
Yo, you said Covington is still there. I'm dead. That just goes to show.
Bro, 10 points on any team.
Nah, LeBron. LeBron obviously has never been this injured before in his entire career, so it's a little weird to see him out this
back
many
to
games.
Back. Every player is getting more injured than they ever have before. But continue.
That's true. But I mean, he's also averaging lower stats than he like ever has, I think. Yeah. So, I mean, it's not just that he's missing time. I think his play is also sometimes not the same. Yeah, he had that 30-point game, I think, two times in a row. But I mean, you can't just look at points if you're actually looking at the game sometimes. He doesn't look fully right at times. He's averaging lowest career points right now, lowest rebounds right now. He's shooting 34% from three. His lowest field goal percentage, I think, right now it's 46%. So not the best start to the season, but him getting injured is not a good look for the Lakers because they definitely need LeBron to be the most competitive team in the league that we think they can be. Westbrook cannot lead the team. That's where I'm going to move on to.
Speaking of Westbrook, I did say it was going to be 50-50 games with him. It's either you're getting hella turnovers, which, I mean, he had a quadruple double. Thank you.
And that's, turnovers?
Yeah. Still a phenomenal stat, but I mean, on
still a phenomenal stat.
But
you'll never be a Westbrook fan.
I mean, he's just... People are shitting on him way too much. I think it's a new team, and he's been moving from like one team to another, and it takes a little minute to mesh. And with how much volume they want him to put up, obviously he's gonna mess up with this new team.
Obviously, right?
Obviously, it's gonna happen. But I like the way Carmelo Anthony's stepping up on that team. But for LeBron James, I feel like he came out the season trying even harder and wanting to put in more work and keeping up that, you know.
But the thing is, he's just too old now.
That's what it is.
I mean, he's still amazing. He's still an amazing player.
He can do that,
but like he can't do it every
exactly.
game.
Exactly. Like, he can put that kind of performance, but with age, is going to take a toll on his body, and now he's seeing that. Now there's injuries, so he got to take some time off. I mean, to rest or ease up in games. I mean, but then you have Westbrook, and if Westbrook is having a terrible night, then LeBron has to step up and, you know, facilitate everything, because otherwise Westbrook is getting emotional, and if he's not having a good night, then it's just going to get worse because he's going to get more emotional and he's going to do whatever to make whatever he feels that is right or is going to make him look good, and he's not going to care. I mean, yeah, he can come out after the game and say, oh, this one's on me, that one's on me, and all that. And he'll put up like good performances here and there. But on those bad nights, LeBron is going to have to put in extra work. And, I mean, Carmelo there, Carmelo's like giving him a little bit of help. And so is AD. So it's not bad. Not a bad start for the Lakers.
I don't think Lakers are in a horrible spot. I think they're in a much better spot than what we thought they were in compared to in the beginning of the season. I mean, this is very early on still, but, you know, it's been 2 weeks now, I think. Two whole weeks of like full-on basketball. No, yeah. You know. I want to talk about the Warriors, though, real quick. They are looking really nice, and this right now is without Klay. And even Klay, bro, I saw that warm-up video. He hit, like, what, like 10 threes in a row back-to-back from the same spot. That's a dribble. I know. Yeah, you're not in game, but he hasn't played in, what, 3 years almost?
Like 2 years.
I think two.
But it's been almost like, three it's seasons been like, it's because been like of the fact, COVID, though. Yeah.
It's been like 800 plus days.
I think he tried exactly. He tried to come back last season. He got injured. And then he got hurt again. Like in the beginning. But, I mean, Klay is trying to come back with vengeance after they didn't put him on that top 75 list. Oh, yeah. Speaking of the Warriors, though, I think they changed their game a little bit during the offseason because losing Steph last year and then after he came back, they kind of found their identity where they just light you up with threes. And I think they lost that a little bit when they lost Klay and then they lost, starting off with losing KD and then losing Klay and then Steph. So they lost that kind of identity, and they tried to, like, you know, be that, you know, pick and roll or just drive team, and it's a young talent.
With Draymond.
Yeah, with Draymond. And even he didn't want to really play. He used to get ejected and all those fouls. You could literally tell that he didn't want to play. Yeah, he didn't like that young talent. But now I think during the offseason, and I don't think they made the playoffs last season, so ever since then they've been working on that, just shooting from outside. Most of their players improved, and they got, like, lethal shooters that teams won't keep up with. And you can see that perfectly clear when they play the Bulls recently. The Bulls is like a drive, lob, dunks team, and they're not much.
Caruso and Lonzo, baby.
Everybody can lob it to each other.
So we don't forget about Zach.
They can just lob it to each other the whole game, but then if they're going against a team like the Warriors,
that was Zach's team before it was
who's lights out, that's what's going to happen.
The Warriors are ranked number one in defensive rating this year. So. Yeah.
So and then on the other hand, you have someone like Steph Curry, like who's, bro, this guy owns every single major three-point stat. He's leading except one, and that's career three-pointers made, and he's only 110 behind Ray Allen. Bro, 110 three-pointers. Everything else, he's averaging three-pointers, 3.7 made a game. That's his average. He has the most in a single season. He has the most games with 10-plus three-pointers made. Bro, he has 21 games with 10 threes made. And he has the most in a calendar month. He has 96 made in 1 month. Most in playoff history and finals history. Most games with 50-plus points and 10 threes. Most seasons with 200 made three-pointers. Like, he's the greatest shooter of all time.
There's no doubt.
If Klay was in it, I don't know if he would have the same. He's definitely a cleaner shooter, I would say. Maybe more consistent, I guess.
Yeah.
But, bro, nothing beats Steph Curry, but what were you about to say?
Just to add on to that, with having Steph, and now, I mean, his workload is probably more now that Klay's not there. So he's putting up, like, lots and lots of shots, and, like, it's just crazy how accurate he is. Only bad game that they had so far this season is against the Grizzlies, where he didn't shoot it as well, but still he put up a good performance, and they only lost by 3 points. Otherwise, the Warriors are looking scary. They beat both LA teams. It's looking like
they're just not looking.
No,
it, no, bro, they're just not.
You guys know who's the leading scorer in the league right now? Paul George. He's averaging 29 right now.
Yeah, but they're losing to the Cavs.
But they're still losing out here.
It's not his fault. But yeah.
That's the first time in my life.
That's crazy.
I have ever heard Harry say that in my goddamn life.
Bro, averaging 29 right now is crazy. He's averaging more than KD, Giannis. Yeah.
You hype?
Steph. I thought it was going to be KD, to be completely honest with you. I know he's missed games, so it makes sense.
It's not by a lot.
Why am I hyped?
It's 28.9 to 28.3.
Come on now. Why are you hyped?
Luka, baby, Luka.
I mean, okay. Leonard hasn't been
what
doing much.
What shoes do you still ball in, if I may ask?
PGs,
huh? Yeah.
My white joints,
white PGs?
No. I don't even ball it, but the last time I played was those white little fucking Nikes I have, not the PGs, running shoes. I have the PGs, but I don't remember the last time I wore them.
That's cool. That's cool.
They're okay, though. I don't think they're that bad, but just getting beat by the Warriors tells you more about them than the Clippers or the Lakers.
Okay, I got to throw some next one.
No.
Paul George is also averaging the most steals right now. Three steals a game.
Bro, another player that I had never really... I mean, I know he's a slasher, but bro, LaMelo be getting...
Steals.
Like, I saw him, bro, last night. I don't know if it's the... Was it the Pacers? They played the Pacers last night?
The Hornets?
The Hornets, yeah. They played the Warriors.
But I saw this highlight. I think they were playing the Pacers or something.
Yeah.
The pass was just so lit. And then 10 seconds later, bro, the Warriors were... It's like... I don't know if he just has, like... He's just a ball hawk. He's just kind of like... He just has a very smart player.
Yeah. It's like naturally IQ smart.
Is yeah. In the Warriors game, he did like he was on the arc, and when Draymond was on him, he did like crazy ass moves you do not expect from a second year rookie.
Nice. I think he plays with like a confidence, and like there's no like when he plays the game, there's no. I don't think he goes into it like wanting to do a certain thing or play a certain way. I think he's going out there and just feeling how
whatever it is
he's feeling. If his teammates are playing well, he's gonna pass the ball like 9 times out of 10, right? But if they're not playing well, he knows it's his time to take over, when to pass. Like you were saying, cut off passing lanes. I think he's gonna be a top three. He's top three point guard, bro.
Dog,
bro.
Yeah, Miles Bridges is crazy.
I know they lost to a very good Warriors team, but they are looking nice. They're looking a lot better than I think a lot of people are going to give them credit for, especially MJ being down there and just like he's killing it. I mean,
he needs to leave. I don't think MJ is doing. I don't think as good as a job.
I'm saying LaMelo's killing it.
Like, yeah, LaMelo is killing
MJ it. MJ got lucky like that. They're finally showing up. I mean, I agree. I don't think he belongs down there. That's not like why are you. I don't know, go do something with the Bulls.
It's taken him a long time, too. I mean, he's from Carolina. So, I mean, like...
I was like, wait.
But I'm saying, like, he hasn't done the best job. This is probably, like, the first year... This is the first year in a while that people are, like, talking about the Hornets.
They're a fairly young team, though.
Now they are.
Yeah. They have good talent.
Even in the past, they had Michael Kidd-Gilchrist. They had...
Kemba,
exactly. They had Kemba. What did they do with that? Nothing.
Literally nothing.
They had...
Batum.
Bro, they had...
all right, you said Batum.
Nicholas Batum, bro.
Dangerous.
They had Al Jefferson at one point. They were crazy.
Yeah. Bro, I was saying for so long that just like... Mason Plumlee was in... He was a good player before, but now, bro, he's turning into a great player. Mainly because of the fact that he has someone who can finally properly feed him the ball. Bro, even in college, when he was at Duke, he was a dog.
And Plumlee's a smart player.
And yeah, and he has a high IQ. Now he's playing with, bro, that IQ, that team.
You don't need a hyper-athletic big at all times. You need someone who knows how to cut, how to pick. You know, you need someone who knows how to play good basketball, not just do like athletic plays.
You know what's crazy?
Al Horford is still out here balling, but go ahead.
I think... When it's all said and done, since we're speaking about LaMelo, I think he's going to have a better career than Zion.
At this point,
rate?
Even with that broken hand or a broken finger?
Yeah.
When was the last time Zion was in the headlines other than an injury, a dunk play?
It's always a dunk.
Yesterday,
or like,
somebody.
I mean, New Orleans at the bottom of the league.
He was trending on Twitter the other day.
They're the bottom of the league. So
thing is, like when he's
and
out,
he wants them to build around him a player that can't shoot.
When he's out like this for like a long time, everybody's like, "Oh yeah, he's not going to be healthy. He's not this."
They're going to start cutting him
off. As soon as he starts to play and he averages 30 and 8,
house of Zion.
Everybody is like, "Oh my God, Zion, best player for the next 15 years." Yeah. So I think his injuries are a huge concern. His weight is a concern.
Yeah,
New Orleans, like the way they're building the team, is a concern.
He wants them to build around him, and like, he's getting angry about everything.
Ingram is hurt too, so I mean, right now their record is not like a real reflection because the two best players are out. But he
barely made the playoffs last year, even though he played like 60-70%.
He was out. That's not a lot. I mean, 60-70% is not a lot.
He's
not, their team last season, come on. That's not it. They had Stan Van Gundy as coach. Now he's out. So the Pelicans definitely have some figuring out to do.
They had Lonzo, bro.
I think says more. They also had, look at him on the Bulls.
They also had J.J. Redick asking out to leave and then talking shit about the Pelicans front office as soon as he left. So that should tell you that they're not run the best. They have all their focus in that whole state is, or on the whole city is on the football. So,
speaking of nice teams with good talent, I think Miami is going to be real trouble in the East this season.
In the beginning of the season, that was my exact reaction. I was like, I don't know if, what Miami can do, but yo.
They're it's all putting up. No.
Bro, the way he's pulling up is like he's playing in a fucking high school game. Yeah. It's not going to last. Were you see the shots that he's shooting? Dribble. That's the type of shit you see at fucking Lifetime, bro. I don't see.
That's not the only reason they're winning.
I'm just saying that same reason is the, like, people were like, oh, Tyler Herro's the reason they suck in the playoffs. He's the reason they suck in the playoffs. He's the reason bro, that same shit is going to happen again. He's going to fucking.
He's good.
I love him. He's a great player. He's a fucking cool ass dude. He's hype as fuck.
It's not. But like, I don't think Tyler Herro makes or breaks his team. I think he's a big piece.
I think he's a big piece. And when he's not playing well, I know, Jim, bro, don't get me wrong. I know the pieces that are there. I just think when Tyler Herro, like, he starts balling and then he just starts. He's like one of those players. Like, if he's balling, the whole team is going to ball. But when he's trying to take away from the team and, like, trying to do his own thing, it hurts them so much. And he does it more than anyone else on the team, though. He tries to take over the game. I know he's not the best player, but just because of who he is, he tries to take over and he tries to, like, and when he's in that slump, he just keeps digging himself deeper. I just think that's what I've seen. And I think unless he fixes that, he's just going to do the same shit again.
Thing is, he's good coming off the bench. He can be like that sixth man that they need throughout the season, who just comes off and, you know, puts up a few shots. But yeah, I agree with how it can be a really bad night if he's doing bad and it's just gonna get worse. That's the kind of player I think he is. But still, I think the way they're putting up good performances from all their, like, big four, like Lowry, Butler, Adebayo, and
they just beat the Mavericks by 15.
Yeah.
That's not all Tyler Herro. Jimmy Butler is average.
No, I'm not
I understand what you're saying. Tyler Herro is like a really, really big piece, but Jimmy Butler is also averaging career highs in every single stat.
I mean, I'm telling you, Jimmy Butler is the star of that team. I agree with that, but I'm just saying when he's
the highest
Jimmy
points.
Jimmy can have a bad game, pass the ball, and still make the team successful, but Tyler can't do that, is what I'm saying.
He won't pass the ball.
He won't move the ball around. Like, he won't be like, oh, fuck, I'm having a bad game. Let me. He's going to keep with Jimmy.
That's why he's a bench player. But the Heat are number one in points scored, number one in points allowed. So they have really good defense, really good offense. They're also number one in the ratings, defensive rating and offensive rating. So it's not. I think they constructed a really good roster. PJ Tucker. I think the Bucks are missing PJ Tucker because now they don't have like a surplus of wing defenders, right? Because Bobby Portis is out, so the Bucks don't look exactly the same. So I think PJ Tucker was a really, really big pickup for them.
Yeah, I was gonna say that too. PJ Tucker was a really big piece that they lost.
He's one of, like, I don't know how to say this, not favorites, but one of like my most appreciated kind of like versatile players. You can kind of throw him in any kind of situation, and he'll find a way to kind of get it done.
He can fire up on all cylinders.
As an ex-Rockets fan, I know the capabilities of PJ Tucker.
They didn't do much
for
you
defense
guys,
his defense is nice. His offense, it's not why you have him, but his defense helps him a lot.
A role player, that versatility, that if he needs to get it done on offense, he kind of can. Yeah. That corner three is in his arsenal. But
when it's going.
That's what I'm saying. It's in his arsenal, but it's not anything like, oh, shit.
I was going to say, what do we think about the Trailblazers this season?
It's the new rules.
Dame Lil is a
animal.
He hasn't been playing that well. What do you mean? They haven't been doing that well, have they?
Well, he's been doing okay, and then you know what they said is because he's not getting those calls, bro.
The Blazers are 11th in the West.
Yeah, okay, see.
Lillard is averaging 19 points a game, almost 4 rebounds a game, and 8 assists. So not bad, but not 19 bad. Points.
From 19 points from that machine.
Yeah,
I really wish he would leave.
He's shooting 23% from three.
But he's rapping about it, bro. He can't leave.
23% from three, and his career average is 37
something. 100%.
But he's not getting those calls this season. That's why some people are saying.
Let's talk about that.
The fouls and all
the
that.
The fouls are calling. I'm with it.
I love it.
Let James Harden fucking cry all he goddamn wants to. Let fucking Damian Lillard fucking cry. Let Steph cry. I don't give a fuck. LeBron. I don't care who the Giannis.
This has made it way more entertaining. I think it speeds up the game. It's not, we're not watching like, And they're starting to talk about taking real on those take fouls when you can just like stop the fast break and it's just like a side out. They're starting, they might clear take path. That out too. You know how you guys watch those international games with FIBA rules? Mm. When it was a take foul, like when you stop transition, it's free throws.
Yep.
So that's how you stop that. I think the NBA is going to do that and make the pace even better. But
yeah.
I like the rule change.
I'm with that.
I like the rule change. Only thing is, there are like some blatant fouls. Yeah. They're not calling.
They are overdoing it sometimes.
Exactly.
But I think,
and for players like James Harden, he's genuinely getting fouled.
Yeah,
I know everybody's saying he's crying.
Sometimes. In the beginning of the season, even Steph, LeBron, Giannis, whoever it is.
It's nothing new.
In the beginning of the season, I fully agree. James Harden was still drawing. He was testing out what he can and cannot do. Most of the fouls on him now are genuine fouls. Like people used to play with their hands behind their backs. Now they like slap him in the face and stuff. And they're not getting called.
I think it's because Harden and Trae Young were like the poster boys of like the rule change. Yeah. So like the refs, they were told to ref them in a different way, and they kind of took it a little too far to like they were not looking to call fouls at all. Because anytime you see Harden and Trae Young go in the lane the past 2 years, you probably think, oh, they're just gonna like hook for a foul. Yeah. So like now the refs are starting to look at it a little more after they realize it was a little off.
I think it's going to be maybe like the first 25-50% of the season.
It's going to take time.
And then once the refs are kind of like, all right,
yo, playoffs, they're, it's still they're, over.
Not even no, like that.
But they are letting teams play, though.
Yeah. I love that.
I thought it was weird because literally NBA last 3 years, the games like, got soft. So it's slow soft. Because there's so many free throws.
Yeah.
It stops every 2 minutes. How many ejections there were last year? Mm-hmm. How many flagrant fouls people got? But...
I like it.
It's a good rule as long as they do the right thing and give people the actual fouls.
Yeah, because the only way you can beat skill is with like physical play, defense, right? Like all hustle. So
and try.
I think that brings back like a lot more. I think people are going to start getting drafted more and start getting paid more because of their defense. Because now defense is allowed now, right? Okay. So it wasn't really allowed before.
It gives the defense some room to like
even people like work. Bro. At the end of the day, Pat Bev is an amazing defender.
Yeah.
Right,
He was. I don't think he is anymore.
Okay, I'll hop on that boat. He was. Westbrook. He definitely. Bro, he's not playing. He's on that team. I mean, just they literally were like, "Where's like?"
He's like, "Where can we ship him off to?" Like, where no one would care.
No
like,
one give a shit about him.
Minnesota. There you go. He went to Memphis first, and they cut him right, and then Memphis, and then Timberwolves.
So it was some crazy trade, like. He's a physical like player, so.
But so players like him, like they were basically being taught, you can't play defense anymore, and that's what I think turned him into even more of a bitch.
Yeah.
Was crying, I didn't foul him, I didn't foul him. And like, we know sometimes they weren't fouls, but most of the time they were. But now it's like he's discouraged to like play defense, right? Okay, maybe now there'll be, like you said, there'll be encouraged people are actually allowed to go up against Giannis, and maybe try to get the block. Yeah. You foul him, whoop-de-doo. But every time he picks up the ball, there's no whistle. So I'll take it.
Too, man. You can't jump at shooters. Go ahead.
I just want to ask you guys something. There's 15 teams in the East. What position do you guys think the Celtics are in right now without looking?
Celtics? They're playing like shit.
They're definitely not.
They're not even top 10.
They're 12th.
Yeah, they're not top 10. I know that for a fact. Because there's better teams, period. That's it. The Heat are number one.
There are a lot of good teams, but 12th?
Yeah. But,
they lost a lot of big games. They lost a lot of big games in OT.
Let's talk about it. I mean,
they blew. Let's talk about the Celtics.
What's wrong with the Celtics?
They have issues. They have locker room issues with Marcus Smart right now, and we heard what he came out and
said. They lost in the first game. They lost to the Knicks, 138-134. The Knicks are nice. They lost to the Raptors 115-83. They beat the Rockets by 10 points.
Nice.
By 10 points.
Nice.
They beat the Hornets by 11.
Which is surprising. But yeah.
Lost to the Wizards back-to-back games and then lost to the Bulls.
You guys know in that Bulls game, they were up 14 in the beginning of the fourth and they lost by 14 and they let Chicago go on a 39-11 run.
That was crazy.
That doesn't just happen, bro. There is a problem. There's something deeply rooted there that is not right, and something needs to be fixed. because it's the way that they're that great, amazing, well coached team.
I don't think Schroeder is a good replacement for Kemba. I think Kemba's a horrible replacement.
That is like they went from fucking
Kyrie. They went from Isaiah Thomas, who was playing really good. Then they went to Kyrie, who was playing decent but was not
didn't care about playing either.
He didn't care about
as much, and then. Kemba Walker, which is not the same Kemba Walker we saw before because of injuries.
Avery Bradley.
Bradley was not really, he's like a shooting guard kind of.
Yeah, but he played point for a little bit there.
And then Dennis Schroeder.
Yeah.
And I mean, I guess who's a backup? Carson Edwards, yeah. Romeo Langford or something. So
I don't know who the...
That's what I'm saying.
Like, no, I know who that is, but like, I couldn't... Do I want you on my... Like, I don't know.
I was just going to say that their problem is being voiced by Marcus Smart, which is... Other teams figuring out.
Also, Marcus Smart was out here hitting like
huge
threes and.
But that's the thing. He's saying he's not a bad player to do that. But he's not getting those passes. So I think so.
I agree. I don't think no. It's Brown, Tatum, Brown, Tatum, Brown, Tatum. That's what he's saying.
Not,
and the thing is,
sometimes it's enough.
But most of the time,
if most of the teams know that's what you're doing in the NBA, they're gonna shut it down. Yeah,
like, they're gonna force other players to make the shots, and that's not what they can do.
Or just double Jaylen, and then if he goes to Tatum, then you go to that, and then they're just gonna be back and forth between each other.
How many times do you guys watch Celtics games and both Brown and Tatum are on? They're both 30-40 points. That barely ever not.
Unless Brown
one game, injured. It's like Tatum is like six for 19. All the games, like Jaylen Brown is like 4 for 12 or something.
But that's
and then the thing is, they don't play like you know how LeBron and AD, they just like have chemistry like right away. They're running down the floor. They know where the other one is. Like Brown and Tatum is one is kind of you just give the ball and then just sit in the corner and let him work.
Yeah.
If he can't score on an ISO or get a ball to somebody else. You pick up the ball on the perimeter and you go to work. That's what I think we think they're friends off the court, but it doesn't look like they have that same chemistry on the court.
Because in one game, one player will drop 30-40 points. Next game, the next player will do it. How can that not fuck with your confidence? Yeah. How can that not fuck with your chemistry? It's like, oh, I'm trying to ball, but nah, he's balling today. Yeah. Oh, he's trying to ball,
but it's their fault. I just don't think it's the right combination for this team. Yeah. I think it's rebuilding time. I think you give one of them away for a big haul. I don't think the Celtics can win with Brown and Tatum anymore.
Because I mean, what about the rest of the players? They're obviously not feeling involved.
Yeah.
Well, there's Parker or Schroeder or Horford.
It's so top heavy. You go Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, Marcus Smart, and Dennis Schroeder, and then after that, who is it? It's Robert Williams, Josh Richardson, Grant Williams, Peyton Pritchard, Al Horford, Juan Hernan Gomez. This is a Celtics roster.
That power forward, that 4 and 5 that the Celtics have always had, is not there. Who is it?
This is Robert Williams, who's not bad,
but he's not competing bad at all. But he's
they're not competing with Embiid, Giannis, AD, Jokic, Bam. They're not competing with Bam, bro.
Not even
Siakam. They don't have anybody who can battle Siakam. Like, I don't think the Celtics are set up for any kind of success.
Speaking of the 76ers, I think Ben Simmons is over there. And I think now what we've seen in the recent game, they're becoming more of a team that is surrounding Embiid with shooters, letting him work in the paint. And then everyone else is just shooting the ball. I don't think they even want Ben Simmons back at this point because the way that they're shaping up right now looks way better than what they were before.
Want Ben Simmons back?
And if he doesn't care at this point.
You don't need him. You need those depth players.
Exactly. They have great depth players.
To be completely honest, they don't need him.
Even in the time he's been there, what has he really even done?
I mean, he's a good facilitator. He's a good physical player inside, but you don't need that when you have Embiid. You need to surround Embiid with shooters in order for you to be more successful.
You see, the Philly crowd was chanting, "We want Dame." Imagine if they had Lillard.
That'd be crazy.
Because you can't really crowd the paint when Lillard is there because he's just gonna shoot every single time.
Lights up.
So when they come out like that, then you just throw it down to Embiid, and Embiid can shoot too. So I mean, Dame and Embiid would be.
A crazy combo.
They would probably be the favorite, if not the second most favorite in the East.
Yeah.
And right now, the pace of the Sixers is the slowest in the league. They're 30 of 30 in the league. So that means they're playing mad slow, which means they don't need Ben Simmons to push the pace. Their offensive rating is number one in the league.
Because
who would have thought the Sixers without Sam would be number one offensive rating?
It's literally putting Joel Embiid in the paint, him working the ball slow, and if it doesn't work, then just
kick it out to Seth Curry, who's playing
or
good.
Any other shooters. Their Tyrese depth is Maxey. Really good, and Thibault is also another physical player that they have. So
Korkmaz can have his nights. He can go off for 20 points randomly.
Exactly. So it's all shooters. For the Sixers. East,
I think for the first time in a while, is stronger than the West.
The West, right?
Like, overall.
A little bit.
I think it a lot, bro.
Look, if you look at it...
The top of the Western Conference
the
right
Jazz
now...
The Jazz are always... let's look at the... Yeah,
it's the Jazz, Warriors, Mavericks, Grizzlies, Lakers, Nuggets, Kings, Suns, and Clippers are the first nine teams.
Honestly,
the 10th team is the Timberwolves.
Yeah.
And the East, Heat, Sixers, Bulls. I don't know how the Raptors are fourth. Nets, Knicks, who are not bad. The Knicks are really good. Wizards are seventh. They look improved. Cavs, 8, and Hornets, 9. Bucks are 10th. Hawks are 11th.
And I think what sucks is that, to be completely honest, I don't think the Knicks could beat a lot of these West teams, though, if it ever came down to it, just because they're young. If they're hot.
If the Knicks and Grizzlies played a series, you don't think the Knicks would win that?
Okay.
I don't think so.
No. The Grizzlies... John
Morant is just so nice, bro. They beat Denver back to back.
Okay, no, I'm not
in a series. I can say Knicks.
The Knicks are pretty decent.
The Knicks have really good defense.
I saw the Knicks live right before they got really good, like a year ago.
It's their defense. It's tough. That stands out.
I think that would be a tough matchup, but I feel like the Grizzlies would come on top for this season. With how John Moran is playing.
Just because of Jaw and...
He needs a little bit more talent around
Julius, bro, come on.
They need like one more player, though. I think
the Grizzlies, 100%.
Yeah, the Knicks are in no position to compete for a championship. Not even close. Mm-hmm. But I'm saying they're a pretty good team.
Hey, they're about to play Washington next. So.
That's a big game.
Well, Washington hasn't been
Washington.
That bad.
Let's talk about Washington real quick.
They're doing really good,
I think the pickups were actually pretty smart. Like the players they got
the
back.
The additions that they've made.
Dinwiddie, getting rid of
Kyle Kuzma, Bradley Beal, Rui, Dinwiddie, Harrell, KCP.
Yeah.
KCP?
They picked up Kispert in the draft.
Yeah.
Kispert.
I didn't like him at first, but I mean, he could shoot. That's all you need nowadays, right?
Anthony Gill. No, I'm
kidding. It was smart to get rid of Westbrook and then surround Beal with, better talent.
I don't even think Thomas Bryant has came back yet. Rui Hachimura is still getting into shape. So the Wizards are actually pretty decent. I think I thought originally they could make the play-in again. Just like last year, the ninth or eighth seed probably, But I think they could make a push for seventh or sixth seed. Honestly, if they get into a groove.
Sixth seed right now. Let's see if they stay there.
Yeah, they're a sixth seed right now. But if you think about it, the Bucks and the Hawks are not. The Bucks and the Hawks are not in the playoffs right now, which is just because it's early in the season.
I mean, they got beat by... The Hawks, the Nets, and Toronto, but like they also beat Celtics, and everybody knows what's going on with Celtics.
The Heat and the Raptors are on a 5-game win streak. Yeah. Not far behind them is the 76ers on a 4-game win streak, and then the Nets with a 3-game win streak. But
Raptors ain't doing that bad either, so it's okay that they got beat by them.
I think the Raptors are fluky. I don't think
kind
Raptors
of. Yeah,
I don't know how the Raptors are even in the top like seven. I don't understand. So they're gonna fall off.
Not a doubt in my mind.
They played like bummy teams. They played the Pacers, Magic, Knicks, and the Wizards. They lost to the Bulls in Dallas. So that just tells you what that is. I think one more team that we can talk about in the East is the Nets, which we haven't mentioned yet. So far, so good. I just don't like the frustration I'm seeing from KD on some games that he's getting a little bit emotional and committing. He's getting a little bit frustrated, and like sometimes he just gets emotional and like gets himself into foul trouble that is kind of unnecessary. I like the way Patty Mills is meshing up with Kyrie. With Kyrie missing. And thank God Aldridge came back, because you having Patty Mills and Aldridge, they had a lot of experience together.
Such good chemistry.
Exactly.
You can see him and then just run down the floor. They know where the other person's going to be. Like, no look passes to each other. I think those two pickups were really, really good for this team.
Harden and KD out, that can be the duo that will get it done. One more thing I'll say, this Harden. Having a slow start to the season, maybe because of the fouls, maybe not.
He also had surgery, so he didn't have, like, he always has these preseason runs. You know, yeah. He used to play in the Drew League. He used to do all these like crazy like runs with a lot of other players.
Yeah.
But I think because he had surgery, he was just out on vacation. So yeah. I don't think he was in proper game shape, which is also like why he's playing bad. But at the same time, like, a player of that caliber and who can score like that, who we've known just put up 60-point triple doubles, like, you should know after like the fourth or fifth game that like the fouls are not going to come, and you need to get away from drawing fouls and to start to score, because the Nets right now are 20th in the league in offensive rating.
Yeah.
And no one thought the Nets would be that low, even without Kyrie. So if Kyrie comes back, I think they're looking to change the New York mandate for COVID, like the vaccination.
Just for Kyrie.
So if Kyrie comes back, I think the Nets shoot right back up to being the favorite. Yeah. But right now, they look all right. There's no advantage to the Brooklyn Nets anymore. They're just a really, really good team.
Mm-hmm.
It's still early.
Like every other team. Every other team has
there's no. I like that about this season right now. There's no clear favorite.
Yeah. But they got, I feel like the Nets got a little bit more depth this season than for it was last season.
For sure.
With the good talent that they have with Patty Mills and Aldridge.
Patty Mills surprised me. He's so fast.
He's see a him really play smart in FIBA. See him play for Australia.
Nah,
he's dropping 30-40 points every game. That's why I was like, he's in the best form of his career right now.
He was just zipping up and down the court.
Yeah,
I think that was probably the best pickup of the offseason. Was probably Patty Mills. Yeah. If they didn't have Patty Mills, I don't know if the Nets would have five games right now.
But the thing is, I mean, I hope Kyrie comes back. And with, I just want to say, with how people talking about him, like, intentionally missing games or whatever. No, not leave. I don't think he's going to leave. But, like, with the amount of money he missed out on with being absent from the game, you can't really tell that it's, like, intentional or, like, I don't know. It's not intentional is not the right word. But, like, him missing time, he's also missed more money than he ever made in the NBA. So it's to him, it's more about purpose. There's reason behind the times that he's been absent from the team or from the game. And hopefully he does get vaccinated and doesn't pull what Aaron Rodgers pulls. And just, you know.
That shit is crazy to me.
It is. Honestly, that was horrible. But hopefully he'll be able to come back. And if he does come back, then you have Patty Mills and Aldridge in this probably second unit or something like that. And they'll probably take over the East. But yeah, as just like Harry said, there's no way to predict how the East is going to play out. Since we're talking about Aaron Rodgers, let's get into the NFL.
Why did you have to go and get COVID?
That ain't right. All right. Since we started about Aaron Rodgers and him lying to his team saying he's vaccinated and now he's out.
And earlier in the season, I think there was a press conference where they asked him if he was vaccinated, and his answer was, "Yeah, I'm vaccinated." So that was Rodgers. So I don't understand how
just like that.
But the thing is, the team knew, like the front office knows. Like, obviously, this guy is not vaccinated, so he lied to his team. Who he's standing on the sidelines with no mask because, you know, unvaccinated people are supposed to have different protocols than vaccinated players. So he's standing on the sidelines with no mask around his teammates, and then going on the field against other people after the game, no masks. He went to a Halloween party, no mask. Yeah. So
John Wick,
I think the thing is that nobody knew he was unvaccinated, which makes it worse.
Especially his team. At least if his team knew, man.
Whoa. Especially that knowing
his center didn't know he was unvaccinated.
And the quarterback is supposed to be the leader of the team.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
The leader's not supposed
but
to hide
things like
this.
But I think that goes to show
his personality.
His personality. Aaron Rodgers. He's just not.
He don't give a fuck. He's out there just to make his money.
Yeah. I don't think he's team first at all. He's not married. So there's no family aspect to this guy. He doesn't even talk to his family, I'm pretty sure, anymore.
Yeah, he's not friends with them.
So I think he's just like, he's just out there. I really just don't think he cares. Yeah. So I think he should get suspended for 3 games, though. No cap.
For just lying. Because they're probably about to play the Saints soon.
Yeah.
No,
they already
beat the shit out of them first week, so we don't need to do it.
The Saints got discount double checked.
You're telling me this guy has been on the sidelines for 8 weeks, unvaccinated, no mask, and he doesn't deserve any kind of penalty, especially when the league has already set aside like rules for like this kind of stuff. Bro, if a person willingly
like $1 million fine, bro.
Should be something.
How do we know he didn't get the vaccine?
They tested him?
Because they know. What do you mean?
It's just, okay, I don't know.
What are you talking about?
That's like, it's just so crazy to me. Like, how can you just straight up just lie?
It was kind of omitted.
It was known by the team.
The team, the front office
like
knows.
Like the head executives type stuff.
Yeah. But
the rest of the world assumed he was vaccinated because he hasn't been following any unvaccinated protocols.
That's just not fair. That's not fair to your team. That's not fair to the other teams, honestly, just lying like that. But they're going to see the Chiefs next week, but I don't think that's going to affect their performance as much because they kind of ran the ball more last week against the Cardinals, which, I mean, they put up like...
Lucky win, but okay.
Kind of. I'd say kind of. But they ran the game pretty well against an injured Cardinals defense a little bit. They put up 151 yards on rushing. I also feel like this whole situation will probably lead to Jordan Love to take Aaron Rodgers' place.
Did you see the way that Matt LaFleur was talking about Aaron Rodgers and Jordan Love? He was literally acting like he was like, "Yeah, it's time that we could finally bring in Jordan Love. We'll try and see how it goes." He's like, "I have a good feeling about it, bro." He's been waiting for a chance to fucking get Aaron Rodgers the fuck out of there, because clearly he does not fuck with him. He does not. He doesn't like the fact that Aaron Rodgers is a starting quarterback, and he doesn't like the fact that he has to play him, but only because he's so good and he's all that franchise really has right now.
He said with him being around.
Right? Yeah.
Oh my god.
Yeah. The way that he kind of has gone about this, and he's kind of like he's so confident about Jordan Love. I do think, like, I agree. I think that Jordan Love is kind of going to get phased in now slowly, little by little. And I think Aaron Rodgers leaving might come into the picture again.
It's going to be our first look at Jordan Love. Mm-hmm. So, people compared him to Mahomes when he got drafted. So, we'll see how he performs, right?
So, do we see them? Who do we take in next week's matchup? Packers or Chiefs? Go ahead, Harry.
I'm taking the Chiefs. I don't know. Against the Packers?
Yeah.
Why is that a bold statement?
It kind of is.
Jordan Love was quarterback, and I would say like 90% of the time, the better quarterback wins, because last week we saw Trevor Siemian beat Tom Brady. So 90% of the times, the better quarterback wins these games. So I'm going to go, obviously, with Patrick Mahomes. They've been playing really, really, really sloppy, and I think we called it out like week three.
Yeah.
We were like, they don't look the same. Mm-hmm. So this is their chance.
15 straight picks?
16.
Something like that.
16 straight picks.
16 and 16.
Yeah, you said 17. Oh,
yeah, sorry. 17 with last week's game against the Giants. That makes it 17. 17 for 17 games.
They have to bounce back at some point. So, I mean, I think the Chiefs for this game.
Yeah. Who are you taking, Dodge?
Initially, when I found out Aaron Rodgers wasn't playing, I wanted to say Packers.
What?
No, not Packers, sorry, the Chiefs. But Mahomes is just so shit right now. It's like pissing me off. It's like, I forgot the exact number. I think it's 4 games straight. He has more interceptions in a game than thrown touchdowns. Harry has me now thinking that this could be a bounce back game, because the Packers they have a lot of pieces. Even without Aaron Rodgers.
Are you taking the Packers or are you taking the Chiefs?
I have not decided yet.
He is yet to get there.
The Packers have allowed 9 passing touchdowns and 9 interceptions over the last 7 games.
There he goes.
And that is why I think the Chiefs will win.
Okay. Damn. I mean, I want to take the Chiefs too. Even after what I saw last week, I still got faith. Yeah, defenses have gotten used to the fact that you can't just bomb it over their heads, but they're going to figure it out, I think. If any coach who can figure it out, I think it's fucking Andy Reid.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
This is also going to be a really defining game for them for the rest of the season.
Chiefs.
Yeah.
I think both teams, Packers and Chiefs.
But for the Chiefs, it's only going to get harder.
Yeah.
They're playing teams now that don't have a losing record.
Mm-hmm.
The first couple, I think, were all, not all, but had a lot of teams that had losing records. Now it's just it was like the Chargers twice. The Chargers have a tough season in front of them, and right. this game is going to be an easy way for them to get into that. They're going to play the Chiefs. This Green Bay team, this Rogerless Green Bay team.
Rogerless, that's a saying. That's a they should coin that term.
Right? I agree. But that Rogerless team there is a good way for the Chiefs to start this next stretch in their season. They're going to be playing the Chargers twice. That's a great football team. They're going to be playing the Raiders twice, and then going to be playing the Cowboys. The Broncos are in there, but I mean,
they're also playing the Steelers.
Come on, guys.
That's going to be the one game Mahomes goes off for like 550 yards.
We all hope.
It's going to happen. No, I don't know hope, but all right. So, Dodge, you picked the Chiefs or the Packers? I don't really get that message.
I picked the Chiefs.
On that note, we're going to move on to the next, I think.
Cardinals 49ers.
Really big game of the weekend. What do you guys think about this game? Divisional matchup.
Cardinals 49ers. I'm taking the Cardinals if they turn around and catch a touchdown pass. But let's be honest. Kyler Murray ain't looking the same. Two games.
I think it's questionable to even play.
Yeah.
No, but no.
Yeah. I'm still taking.
I'm getting banged up.
According to the team, he's gonna. It's very possible that he'll come back. The only thing that kind of looks familiar is I know they're not the same team from last year, but last year they also kind of fell 7-1, and after that, Kyler Murray got injured, and then their season kind of went to shit. But in that last week's game against the Packers, although they lost, they did have good chances. And with Kyler Murray, if he's back and healthy, I think no game will be like slipping away from them like that. They'll always have chances to win those games. And I'm taking the Cardinals because although the 49ers have great defense, but
although
they have great defense, but I mean, they held them to 17 points last time. So maybe with Kyler Murray not being 100%, they have a slight chance to win. But I'm still taking the Cardinals. For the 49ers, I mean, Samuel's the only thing that they have going on on offense.
Yeah.
Besides that, the defense is...
Debo.
Yeah, the defense has got to pull through every single game. And in last week's game against Justin Fields, he kind of made them look weak as hell.
He's getting close to Calvin Johnson's record.
Yeah.
Who?
Debo.
Oh, what?
Yeah.
He's at 1,989.
He's definitely all pro this season.
Yeah, bro.
Yeah. Pro bowler.
I'll take the Cardinals, too.
Yeah.
There ain't really much to say from my end, kind of, to be completely honest. It's easy. Easy dub for Cardinals. If they want to win that division.
This is a game they need to win coming off a loss now.
Yes, sir. So the first loss of the season, right?
First loss of the season.
You knew it was coming, right, Don?
It had to. I called it. I did call that. They shouldn't have lost that game. It was just a lot of, I would say, mental mistakes, just shit on-field play. And this week, I think they're going to come back hot after having run, like, mad amount of suicides at practice. But
you think they run suicides?
They don't run suicides. They just get fined. I don't think that the Cardinals should lose this game.
Okay. Next game, I think the Vikings-Ravens. Okay, so I don't think Justin Jefferson kind of is looking his best. Was he hurt last game? Did he go off with an injury? He had
He came back. He came back. He just didn't play well at all.
He just played like shit.
He only has 3 touchdowns so far.
In this whole season.
We've seen how good the Ravens have been this season, so I don't think it should be a surprise that they beat the Vikings. But the Viking, I mean, we did say that they have a tough schedule ahead for the Vikings, and this is like the second L that they're going to take. It shouldn't be that hard of a matchup for the Ravens. They should win this easily, to be honest.
I don't know about easily, because the Vikings, you know, they're not the, you know, best team. They're not the best team, but they always give you they're always going to give you a battle. I mean, Dalvin Cook is not a joke.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's probably top 3 back in the league.
Ravens haven't let up an individual running back get more than 60 yards. Yeah. So they know how to shut down.
That's true. Yeah. If they resort to throwing, I mean, they haven't shown that they can do that well either. So Justin Jefferson might have to step up this game. Otherwise, I think the Ravens will take it probably by like a touchdown.
I'm going to have to go with the Ravens too, because I think the amount of points the Ravens can put up, the Vikings just can't. In the their last three of the four, they've had less than 20 points, and we know the Ravens can put up more than 20 points in a game.
The Ravens still don't have Sammy Watkins. They still don't have Patrick McCarry. And three of their starting defensive linemen are out. So
I think Daniel Hunter for the Vikings might be out.
Yep. He's out for the season.
Yeah. So that's a big
Patrick
loss.
Patterson is out.
I think Lamar is going to have a great game if you don't have Hunter on the line. He's like the best player on the line. That line is not known to have the best pressure. So I'm expecting Lamar to have to carry this game.
There's a lock. This is the Ravens won it. This is a lock.
Here we go.
They've won 11 straight games versus the NFC opponent. Longest streak in the NFL. So it's a lock. So that streak's not ending.
Oh my God.
And like 12 doesn't seem like a number they go off on. It has to be higher than that.
13.
That I wouldn't promise. 12. 13's a bad number. 12's good.
Everybody picked the Ravens.
Yeah. So
next game?
So we all know the Vikings are going to win then.
Yeah. Anytime we all pick one, the other wins.
Yeah.
Actually, not often, but a lot of times.
Sometimes. It happens. All right.
So, ladies and gentlemen, the moment we've been waiting for this whole season, the Rams-Titans, Adrian Peterson versus Von Miller, baby.
Yes, sir.
Yo.
I cannot believe Adrian Peterson is back in the league. Yo. It's like we're in 2015, we're in 2012 again.
Oh, my God, bro.
Literally, it was like first day
he
I found out.
He does not know how to retire, bro. He sees somebody getting closer to his record, somebody setting new records, he's like, I got to go back.
Yo, low-key, man, he might still be aight. Because if that line is really, really good, but I mean, for Derrick Henry to even get that open, they have
you
to
have
block,
to have
right?
gaps. He's
Peterson
good with gaps.
Has had a few years off to get healthy. You know, he started getting injured end of his career, but
bro, if it was anyone you could put in there instead of Derrick Henry, like AP is like a great.
It's funny, but now, I don't think they would sign him if they didn't know that he could still run the ball.
Yeah,
gaps open up for linemen, but when you have linebackers like Von Miller now.
I think it's
going to be a completely different. I mean, it is going to be his first game, right? It's going to be his first game with them.
Yeah, I think
so. That might be a little off, but he's a good player.
He's a very, very, very smart player.
Yeah.
And when you have Aaron Donald on the line and Leonard Floyd on the line,
as wraps,
I think Von Miller can literally just do what he wants because they can't double team him. So I think he'll be all right. So I don't think the Titans can do anything
right now.
In
the past 3 weeks, the Titans have beat the Bills, the Chiefs, and then the Colts. But still, three games straight. Yeah, 100%.
I agree. It was Derrick Henry.
They are, as Dodge always says, they're long overdue for a loss. This is a tight game. I just think that the Rams maybe have more firepower when it just comes down to it.
Right now, Stafford has almost 2,500 yards, 22 touchdowns. Tannehill has 2,000 yards, which is pretty good, and 10 touchdowns. Only 10, and Derrick Henry also has 10 touchdowns. That's half your touchdowns right there.
I was just about to say that.
So the receivers are going to have to step up because A.J. Brown, their leading receiver, only has 3.
They have a lot of receivers kind of a little bit crowded, I think, the Rams, but
they dropped D-Jack, so Deshaun Jackson's a free agent right now.
Yeah.
Hey.
But I mean,
Saints not gonna get him. We already have
MTs after this.
We could use him, honestly.
We already have over the top threat in Harris, so the Steelers might get him. Or the Raiders
might actually be like
the Raiders might get him because they lost Ruggs and OBJ. OBJ, we'll talk about that in a little bit.
We'll get to that.
Von Miller, he has the current highest quarterback pressure rate, which I know, like, even if you're doing runs, switching up to a throw is going to be insanely hard for them. So, I don't think they're going to win Tennessee.
I disagree with that. I think Tennessee will win this game. I mean, the Rams just won like back-to-back division matchups, but also
the Titans just won 3 straight.
Yeah, no, I understand that, but also
they beat the Bills, the Chiefs.
They kind of struggled against like 3 of the worst teams in the league, which is the Giants, Lions, and Texans. Like, yeah, they won last week with the Rams, but they kind of struggled against those teams, which are
they
like combined 3 for 20, honestly, between all of them. But I see the Titans winning because Tannehill, along with A.J. Brown, I mean, even without Derrick Henry, can get it done. In that last game, they connected 10 times, and that was like 155 yards with a touchdown. So they might have overworked Derrick Henry a little bit, and now he's injured and out for a while. But I think Tannehill and Brown can kind of carry this team. And with how the Rams kind of struggled against like weak teams, Titans would be able to win this game. And Henry, I don't think Henry's coming back, right, this season? Is he out?
I think there's a chance for him to come playoffs, if they make it to the playoffs.
Yeah.
So. Especially later in the playoffs, there's a bigger chance of him coming back, obviously. But another reason I'm going to pick the Rams this game is because Cooper Kupp is the only player with 900-plus receiving yards and 10-plus touchdowns in the first 8 games of a season. 10-plus touchdowns and pretty much 1,000 yards
in 8 games
in half the season.
What a player.
That's Matthew Stafford right there.
Yeah,
I mean, that Cooper Kupp. I don't think the Titans can get even close to guarding that, so I'm picking the Rams easy.
Taking the Rams.
So
it's a sweep for the Rams, except Hamza.
Titans are due a bad game.
Titans are also due a bad game. I agree. You can't be all these top-tier teams and continue to do it.
I'll double down. With that.
Without Derrick Henry.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll see how it goes.
You take Tannehill, bro.
Why not?
Take him.
Why not?
You can take him. You can
Why not? I'll take my chances on him. But we spoke about OBJ a little bit ago, but...
Let's talk about the Browns now.
Yeah, exactly. Let's get into it. OBJ and Junior OBJ and Senior OBJ.
They just told him to stay home Thursday and... yesterday too.
If I was OBJ, I would... He doesn't need the Browns. The Browns need him. He could just sit out the rest of his season. He'd be all right. Another team will pick him up.
Guys, I just said Tannehill had 2,000 yards and 10 touchdowns. Mayfield has 1,700 yards and 6 touchdowns. Mayfield, remember when he came into the year and everybody was like the Browns offense could be probably top 3 in the league with this amount of talent?
Yeah. And they're all hurt, though.
I mean, now... Now that's 1 week or 2 weeks. 1,700 Mayfield has 6 touchdowns in 8 weeks.
That's still horrible. I agree.
We said he's not reliable.
I don't think OBJ is even close to the problem. Like people can say the locker room cancer, but I mean it's taken what 2 or 3 years for any bad reports to come out about him, and now that's because he has a valid reason to. Like he's not being used right in the offense, and the team should respect that a player wants to leave. I think they're just going to release him because no one wants to trade for him.
Mm-hmm.
And who do you guys think OBJ could go to? There's a lot of teams in the league.
There's a lot of teams.
Because he has an $8 million contract, so no one's going to pick him up until he's like a free agent.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So
it could go anybody could pick him up.
You know,
keep tooting the same horn, but I think that the Saints could pick him up or the Steelers, but I see the Steelers picking up someone else soon. I think
those two,
the Saints, are probably the most probable, likely kind of team to pick them up, especially in the position that they're in right now. But I think the biggest problem is their
quarterback.
I was just going to say that.
I think everything works like the system will work, the culture will work, the defense will work, the city works. Yeah, if we had a proper quarterback, but Simeon showed that he was capable. And we all know Sean Payton can scheme up anything for anybody. So I think OBJ would work. But I think Saints are probably like 50-50. I don't think they have the best chance. I think the Raiders probably have the best chance because they lost Ruggs. And I think Las Vegas is a perfect spot for OBJ, right? He likes the spotlight, right?
Yeah. That is interesting.
You're not getting the spotlight.
Yeah.
You know, people saying he wants to go to Green Bay with Aaron Rodgers, but... It's not a spotlight town.
No.
He just came from Cleveland, right? And we know he didn't fit in Cleveland. So Vegas is a good option. Los Angeles maybe could be an option because, I mean, who wouldn't want... I mean, Los Angeles, I mean the Chargers.
Yeah.
Not the Rams because they have enough receivers. So imagine Keenan Allen and OBJ and Mike Williams and Herbert. So I think those three teams, in my opinion.
They'll be using OBJ like they should have and... With Cleveland, I mean, Mayfield is not a reliable quarterback either way.
Not even close.
But it's, I mean, it's not, the problem is not OBJ. And like he, when he came in, it was kind of good, but then he got injured a few times. And then after that, it was just this like OBJ's never seen on the field. I don't know why. And there's footage of it all over the place. You can see how open he is.
11 minutes of him being like wide open. Yeah. It wasn't even like tight window. It was like any veteran quarterback would be making that throw.
It was a terrible throw sometimes. It's not even like he missed him or anything like that, or he passed to anybody else.
Over his head or something.
Over short, outside. It's just never right.
I'm taking the Bengals.
Yeah, I am too, bro. They've been nice.
Joe Burrow has 20 touchdowns. They're just too hurt. 2,200 yards and 20. That's ridiculous. I think the Bengals have one of the best offenses in football.
These were supposed to be the two top teams in this division. And right now it's looking like the Steelers and the Bengals.
Yeah.
Fully healthy. Yeah. Like, not fully, like, where we're at right now.
Right. As of right now, as of today.
We're not healthy. Browns definitely aren't healthy, so.
Yeah, I'm taking the Bengals easily. I don't think the Browns offense can keep up right now.
I don't think so either. And the Bengals have been nice, just like we said. I think Joe Burrow is better than Mayfield.
Yeah. Dodge, who are you picking?
I'm going to take the Bengals because I think that they're a more complete team with a quarterback that okay, I don't want to say he's better than Mayfield, but he's better than Mayfield.
He is better than Mayfield.
Like, but he's just young, but I'm going to still take them.
For our next divisional matchup of the weekend, we're going to go Falcons and Saints. So last year, the Saints swept the Falcons.
I'm expecting the same.
I think Taysom Hill might be back for this game, so we don't know if Simeon or Hill is going to start a quarterback. What do you guys think about this game?
I'm taking the Saints. Because even Sean Payton hasn't said who he's playing, but I think it's kind of stupid. Bro, how much are you paying Taysom Hill?
But it's a fake contract. Like, yeah, we're
what the hell does that mean? You're still
so
paying
now,
him.
Now, like, the contracts, it means it's 4 years voidable. So, like, that money is not getting paid until, like, the last, like you can opt out of that contract at any point. So, I don't think he's not actually getting paid 100, whatever, 20 million, 110 million. But I think Taysom Hill is better as a gadget player. He's a better receiver, running back, tight end, like, player than he is as a quarterback. I don't know. Like, his arm is just not as good. He doesn't know how to make progression reads. Like,
he plays
one
because he can kind of throw the ball and he can just do everything. So it's easy to run like a wildcat or kind of put like a fake receiver. Like, it's easy to move a quarterback around
because he has the arm strength, which is fine. But like, that's why people respect it a little bit. But when they have people waiting there for him, like spies, like, it's not going to be as easy. So
yeah,
he's definitely more effective at other positions, but still, yeah. Hamza?
I mean,
and they just got dogged by Carolina. Just want to put that out there.
Go ahead.
No, that's it. Atlanta just got dogged by Carolina.
But divisional matchups are always interesting. Yeah. It doesn't matter who's coming in from what. It's like,
I mean, yes, we lost Winston for the rest of the season with a torn ACL, but defense showed up against the Buccaneers. They forced three turnovers, and two of them were picks, including the last one, which was a pick six by Williams. However, the defense kind of let two deep throws in, which is kind of we haven't seen the Saints defense allow that. The most that they got to worry about is, just like y'all said, is just a QB position, whether it's Hill or the veteran. Hill has been concussed in and out for the season, so I don't know if he's going to be right to be a QB.
How long has he been at game speed? Like, can he play like quarterback right now?
I'm still taking the Saints because the Falcons not really it.
We've won four of the last five matchups. So.
Yeah,
Panthers are rivalry. The Panthers beat the Falcons, so there's no way the Falcons are.
I mean, the Falcons have upset us before, and all the way around.
If they upset you guys, you guys suck.
We lost to Carolina, but we also didn't have our whole coaching staff and half our team again. But yeah, agreed. We should win this game just because of the talent we have, especially if we make a move for OBJ before then, which I still really don't think is going to happen, but it's definitely a possibility. And I'm going to assume Dodge taking the Saints. So we're just going to move on to the next game. Bears and Steelers, the next game we're going to talk about.
I want Justin Fields to get fucking demolished.
Hey, yo.
I mean, it's going to happen.
It's pretty harsh.
It's going to happen.
I don't think so. He's pretty dynamic, bro.
I just think he's going to throw maybe a couple picks. I hope he has a sloppy game at least. You watch him have like the cleanest game of his life, have like 4 incompletions at the end of it. I don't see the Bears beating us. If they do, man, we suck. And we're definitely out of the wild card race probably at that point even. Because I highly doubt we'll win our division. And then the Browns get healthy again. And the Bengals are probably going to win the division. Or the Ravens even. So I think this is a big game if we want to stay in the playoff race. Because it's getting to that point, right? We're week 9. So if we want to start thinking about long term, hey, do we want to go to the playoffs, or we just want to take it easy, figure out what to do in the offseason, and then come back better next year with all of our players healthy?
Y'all going to get saved by Najee Harris probably in this game.
What do you mean saved?
He'll probably just carry it. That's what I mean.
He hasn't carried even like one game, the most amount he had. He's played well, but he hasn't like been like the whole offense ever this entire season.
Y'all haven't had like those kind of rushing numbers in a while, so...
Because we didn't have a running back to do it, but exactly what I'm saying, so. he hasn't carried it though.
He's still taking some of the load, and
100%. He's a fucking running back. Yeah. What else is he supposed to do?
Exactly. We just
so what?
Ben is not like gonna be putting up those high numbers, so he's obviously gonna carry some of the night, and that's what's gonna help you win against the Bears. I think
you do have a point. Like you mean like the running game? If they don't have a running game in this game, then
they're choking Ben then.
Yeah, I don't know if Ben is capable of having another 300, 400 yard game in prime time.
He's not supposed to be throwing it's
a prime time game as well. Yeah. So they're definitely going to have a running game. I agree.
Our offensive line is looking much better. One thing that's kind of making me kind of shaky is only because Justin Fields is coming off his best game offensively, his hottest game.
I think it was against the Niners.
Yeah. But the Steelers also just played their best defense, but that doesn't mean
Mike Tomlin
jack
is
shit.
Also a better coach than Shanahan.
I mean, so
at the end of the day, and he's obviously a better coach than Nagy.
Yeah.
But
Khalil Mack, we don't know also.
Yeah.
He's questionable.
He's not playing the same.
Eddie Jackson is out. So
I think the Steelers really should win this game, but I'm going to bet on the fact that Justin Fields in primetime game, I think he shows up in big games. I think we saw it in his college career. When the lights shine brightest, I think he has his best games. So I'm going to take Justin Fields in a close one.
I think it's going to be a close one, too. I think it's going to be low scoring.
The Steelers don't have a lot of their offensive weapons.
Give it to Steelers.
Yeah, we don't.
Steelers this season have only beat teams that have a losing record and won games or lost games to teams that have a winning record. So...
So Steelers should win.
Steelers should win.
Hamza, you picked the...
They should.
I believe I picked the Steelers. Okay. With the running game, they should be able to win this. But.
And on to the last matchup of the week. We're going to talk about the Patriots and Panthers.
Should be interesting.
Bro, the Patriots, Belichick, that last game.
Masterclass.
Bro, literally master fucking class.
They overcame some issues in that last game that they've been struggling with, I think. Like play calling and pens, also ball security and all that. It might be a turnaround for their season with their defense having a good performance in times where Cam cannot, you know, put up that many numbers. Their biggest performance came from Adrian Phillips, honestly, with 2 interceptions. And one of them led to a touchdown, obviously. But the Patriots this season so far, they are 4-4 right now. But with those 4 wins, it's coming from the Jets and 2 from the Jets and 1 from the Texans. And now this one with the Chargers, which is looking like they're turning their season around.
Bro, the Panthers ran the ball 47 fucking times last week. And 25 times they threw the ball.
They should be able to beat them. Bro. That's why I'm taking the Patriots. So I'm just going to say that. Yeah,
go ahead. Bill Belichick is eating that for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. He's gonna eat that fucking offense up. That defense is the Patriots' defense is not bad. I mean, it's not amazing, but it's not bad at all. And if they're playing the right defense and the right schemes, they're gonna stop the Panthers.
I agree. I don't think the Panthers have any game-changing players.
They have Stephen Gilmore. That's not crazy, and it's not like a crazy, crazy thing.
I don't think they have any crazy players that Belichick, you know, can't scheme for. Because, I mean, that's usually the recipe for Belichick losing is when they have really, really dynamic players that, you know, you really can't game plan for. I don't see even one on the Panthers because CMC is out. Sam Darnold looked to be off to a good start, and then he went really, really downhill.
Yeah.
Bill Belichick is going to win this game.
Yeah. Not even Mac Jones.
I trust in Bill Belichick to win every game. And in this game, I think he will do that. So, go Patriots.
Every single one, baby.
That's right. It's so nice to be able to say go Patriots because Tom Brady's not there. Oh, my God. I, like, didn't feel bad about saying it this time.
As always, we hope you enjoyed this episode. If you want to share any opinions or you have any questions or comments, you can find us on all social media platforms. Just look up Check the Stats. If you did enjoy this episode and you would like to, you know, leave us a review, let us know what you think about the show, you can do that on any streaming platform. We're available on all of them. This is Hamza along with Deep, Harry, and Dodge.
Peace.
Peace.
Stats.
Love one another.